Hey everyone. So I haven't been making YouTubes for about 6 months. I had something else I had to do and work on. So I'm just about to be back in a regular way in about 10 days. But in the meantime, I came across an interview just now that I have to share with the world. And I ask everyone who listens to this to share it as far and wide as you possibly can. Because I feel that this interview is the most important interview I have ever heard in my lifetime. When you listen, I think you'll agree. So this is Larry Gators. Bishop Larry Gators is the host, and his radio is called Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. And he is interviewing Mr. Scott Kersetin, who has a YouTube channel called Bards of War. I really recommend looking into both and exploring their minds, because they both are incredible men with incredible minds. I found Bishop Gators over the who presented a series regarding Kobe Bryant and the Luciferian Project completed. And he really has depth when it comes to knowledge. He is, really stunning. And Scott Kersetin is a military man of sorts, no longer serving, who, and I found this with military guys that go to the level of special operations, when I find them in obscure, quiet corners of the internet, I learn the most. And this is the case with this man. His mind is immaculate. So I'm going to begin the interview. It's about 40 some minutes, or maybe a little more, and I've cut off the introduction. So enjoy.
Scott, can you share with me, with my staff, and also with our listeners all over the world? You and I had talked on last week, and you gave, I have to confess, probably one of the most powerful insights that anyone has ever told me since this whole global pandemic or plandemic that has started inside of COVID-19. How the world, especially our country, is going through a financial reset, especially specifically with the financial system in this country. Can you share what you shared with me as God revealed this to you? Because, my friend, it was absolutely mind-blowing what you told me on last week.
I'd absolutely be glad to. So, it's very difficult right now for a lot of people to get their head around what's actually going on with this virus. And I think we need to begin there and just understand that the virus is real, the pandemic is fake. And this is a very important piece. And the virus itself is really little more. It's got some variations, but it's basically an influenza type virus. There are some issues about it, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that start to put a lot of things and make sense of what the media narrative is. And then we're going to get into here a little bit about what's happening in the country. So to understand, first of all, that this was a organized plan that was launched to destabilize the global economy and ultimately to prevent the full revelations of what is coming on the evil of what Hillary Clinton, what we now understand is WHO, is one of WHO organization, World Health Organization, and Human Rights Council, and what they have been involved in on a global level to, quite frankly, execute a eugenics type program on a global scale. This has also been timed strategically to try to impede President Trump's reelection chances at a very strategic moment to try to prevent him from having rallies and simultaneously collapse an economy that in their hopes would make it unrecoverable and open the door towards their candidate and force socialism within the country by collapsing the economy and everybody's savings to such a degree that the only thing left would be paper money printed out of the Federal Reserve that people would have to become dependent on. And as we have seen with this virus, one of their other master plans was Bill Gates' draconian vision. I swear Bill Gates is little more than another Mengele in disguise. They wanted to have mandatory vaccinations on a global level, which would include an RFID tagging of everybody so that they then could put them on a global grid. So just to paint that picture very quickly, as it appears, and this is assembly of a lot of information, a lot of people I've talked to, there seems to be basically three or four levels to what we would call the pandemic. The virus was released. It looks like it was probably originally seeded into the population somewhere around November or December. Then Nancy Pelosi then releases the articles of impeachment on January 15th, which creates all of this media focus in that direction while they bring in on the same day patient zero, for what they're going to call patient zero, gets discovered up in Seattle. Now, in their plan, the virus has already been started somewhere early on. Now they identify patient zero and this thing starts to move. But the world's attention, the media's attention, trying to keep everybody away from that and focusing on this fake impeachment trial. President Trump was ahead of it. They blocked the entrance from China. But the biggest part about this virus is it's emotional. It's the emotional fear. So that people would believe, because it can literally be tagged. I mean, you can do a test to see that it's there. But worse yet is that to complicate and spread the fear, the test kits that were coming in from China were corrupted with the virus, meaning that they would create effectively a false positive, meaning anybody that didn't have it would test positive, but at the same time, they would put the virus in somebody's body by putting it in a swab in their nose. So the entire thing was a setup to spread the virus, to create the fear of pandemic. The virus itself doesn't have that much lethality. It's very, as with influenza, it targets primarily those of weakened immune systems. But that's enough to get the scare going. Then comes the next wave, which is as the media spins up the fear and spins up the need to have ventilators, there's suddenly not enough ventilators, okay? Well, the ventilator actually is the trap. As it appears now, is what they did is they pushed for something, a cure that was actually going to result in more deaths. Whatever this virus does, it has to do with oxygenation within the cells. As you use a ventilator, it actually complicates the issues of the virus. But we need to look at what's happening at the hospitals. The hospitals are using, the scam is so deep and it's so massive, it's hard to get our head around all of this. As the virus moves through, the hospitals then start coding people with COVID, just even if they're suspect of it, because that translates to more federal money. If they put them on a ventilator, they get three times more money. So they spin up a call for ventilators, but in previous administrations, the states have never stockpiled the needed supplies they said they needed, and the media starts calling for things that they knowingly know are not in the system, perpetuating the fear. As you perpetuate fear, and hospitals are making a ton of money and it's going out the back door, most likely into politicians' pockets, you're creating a state of fear that is collapsing the economy by a natural state. People cease to want to participate in the economy. And so you drive the economy down. And the theory was to push President Trump's hand to such a degree that he would effectively have to install draconian measures, basically martial law, that would crush the economy and have no recourse but to put people on some form of a socialized subsidy and then wipe out any of his economic gains, separating his base and ultimately allowing them to assume power and continue their march towards destroying the United States and reestablishing a new world order. So this is the count. So that's what happened with the launch of the virus in a very simple sense. Okay. Now we look at the Patriots' counterattack, which is quite frankly at a level of genius that's unimaginable. They identified that one of the greatest threats in this system, and this is what is really hard for people to understand, to really get their head around, is our medical system itself was weaponized. We have doctors working in the pockets of big pharma that are all pushing towards vaccinations. They're pushing towards things that don't make us better, but that continue to make us worse. There is more there in the system that we were living under. There is more money to be made in disease than there is to be made in the cure. So what we see here is the military interceding in two critical areas. All over the country, they build extra medical facilities, which is immediately assuages the fear of people. As the media is spinning fear, the National Guard and Army or Corps of Engineers are rapidly building hospital bed facilities. And they're immediately interceding to take off some of the load off of the hospitals as the governors scream, the sky is falling, because they're part of it, many of them. And they're saying, we're going to have all these patients. And so they immediately step in to take the load off of the hospitals so that the hospitals could deal with this supposed threat of COVID wiping out half the population, which never manifested. But that was the fear story. And Americans' trust in the military is exceedingly high. So this was a way to bypass the media narrative. The introduction of the ship Mercy in LA and the ship Comfort in New York has multiple levels here. One is there's a full force presence of an extra high level medical facility. There is potentially, and there seems to be, I mean, it's hard to get a hard proof on this, but there seems to also be a dismantling while this is going on of key child sex trafficking networks and Luciferian cults within those two cities, because there are two major hubs for the Luciferian cult.
Yes.
So as that's happening and the hospitals are there, it also prevented yet another level of plan within the deep state operation, which was to create such chaos and mayhem in the country that the mayors would reach to the governors and call to the UN to put troops on the ground in LA and New York. That was part of their plan. By putting the hospital ship Mercy in LA, the hospital ship Comfort in New York, along with additional National Guard elements in the name of medical prevention, all of those fears were immediately removed and a preventative measure was put in place for any mayor from ever trying to reach across to the UN to call for troops. Simultaneously to all of this, the U.S. military is launched at a full level of mobility. We haven't seen a mobilization of the U.S. military like this probably since World War II. And the way that we see it, even though many of them were listed as doctors and medical professionals, they were dipping into what we call the Ready Reserve, the IRR, Inactive Ready Reserve. Those are people that have literally been out of the service for years, but have been called back on duty. So what we have going on then is in the country, you have the presence of National Guard elements. You have the Marines who were activated down in Camp Pendleton. And you have reserve elements. All of those are at the purview of the president to do just that. And the military itself is launched on a global level to proceed with activities. Now, what we're not seeing any of those activities, which is really important. So what I always say is don't pay attention to what you see in the news. Pay attention to what you don't see or don't hear. So what's actually going on right now is that you have incredible amount of activity going on in Los Angeles and in New York. There's all sorts of ground activity going on, which is effectively tearing apart a lot of these Luciferian networks. But at the same time, the military is on a full-out war, offensive war, against the drug cartels and the human trafficking networks that are centered from Mexico south into Central America and hubbing out of Venezuela. So they're completely dismantling as much as they can do, dismantling and destroying these networks and quite literally saving the kids and intersecting the drug trafficking, but not just like we normally do, but literally a full-scale war of deployment to wipe out the core origins of many of the drug producers. So you're seeing as all of this is happening, you're seeing a sudden drop in cross-border traffic in our southern border. And you're also seeing a huge drop in drug supplies coming into the country because almost everything's buckled up. And you're seeing a big sweep up of a lot of these Luciferian cults. Notice how quiet Hollywood is. Notice how quiet and how compliant many of the of our known Democrat deep state operatives are. They're all very compliant because they're literally their networks are being torn apart. Now, this gets really interesting here, and this next phase, which is a piece that I'm putting together right now, and it appears as something else has happened that we didn't really anticipate. And I say we, a lot of the researchers, including myself, that was we went back to looking at something called the Act of 1871. The Act of 1871 was a point when the U.S. Constitution was quietly and illegally replaced from a constitution of for the people to of United of the people, and effectively turned us into a corporate state. The assumption was that President Trump was returning us back to the pre-Constitution of 1871. And while that may be where we are going, I'm almost certain at this point in time that has not happened for a very particular reason. And we'll all come back to that in just a moment. When they passed the bill, the $6.5 trillion stimulus bill, and a lot of people are freaking out over the stimulus bill about how much debt we have, the first thing people need to remember is he who has the biggest debt becomes the banker. That's a very important principle in the art of economic warfare. So what happened in the process of the stimulus bill was that the Steve Mnuchin, who is quite frankly a brilliant patriot, who used to work for Goldman Sachs, who Goldman Sachs also hates, which is a good thing. He created something called an SPV, which is called a special purpose vehicle. And that is attached to the Treasury. So in simple terms, what happened is that as the bill was passed, the Treasury then began to provide funding through bonds and other corporate purchases, like taking interest in corporations, percentage of ownership interest, through private holdings. The Federal Reserve can't be involved with sustaining private holdings or buying into private holdings by its own charter, but the Treasury can. So as the Treasury begins to provide stimulus to businesses and to those huge businesses like Ford, GM, to name two, Lockheed, Raytheon, they're putting in money, which is effectively they're taking a percentage ownership in these companies. And there's a lot more to that than this is not the Obama model. This is the Trump Rebuild America model. It's very different. As we take those percentage of interest, the Federal Reserve begins spinning up money. And even though it's paper money, it nonetheless has value. And this is an important piece to understand. The money starts funneling into the Treasury. And in doing so, the Federal Reserve, it triggers an automatic process in the Federal Reserve where they also simultaneously have to begin buying U.S. debt across the globe. And the reason that is happening is because they have to backstop the dollar. And if they don't do that, they lose control of the dollars. It's just a state of, the Fed is still tied to the dollar. Now, something to keep really, really, really remember here is the deep state's plan, global elites, whatever you want to call them, was to rupture the economy, completely trash the dollar, reset global currencies to effectively, which would have been called an SDR, which is a basket of currencies. And then later, that currency, the predominant currency, was to become the Chinese yuan. And the hub of operations was going to be China, and one of their central hubs of operations was Wuhan. You can start to see how this all links back together. So as the Fed begins to spin up and produce money for the Treasury, it's at the meantime, it's still tied towards the dollar, and all central banking is tied towards the dollar. So they have to automatically begin a process of buying up U.S. debt. This is very important because now the Fed is doing exactly what we want it to do, which is It's buying up all the holdings from all the other governments around the world of U.S. That are holding bonds towards U.S. debt. The projection was, and I think it still is, but the projection is basically that the purchase rate was about $2.5 trillion a month of U.S. bond holdings. While Steve Mnuchin then is taking interest in key companies, and he's stimulating them with cash coming from the Federal Reserve. So effectively, he's got control indirectly of the Federal Reserve. But now back to the Act of 1871. There were three parts of the Act of 1871 that are critical to understand. One is the Vatican, one is London, and one is Washington, D.C. The Vatican Yes. being the primary control agent, London being the world banking agent, and D.C. being the military arm. Effectively, the true world power was a triad, a triangle, with the U.S. being the military wing of enforcement of the banking policies of London and the control element out of the Vatican. Now, you'll notice that some of the highest deaths early on out of the Wuhan virus, Chinese virus, were in Italy. And it was no accident that many of those reported deaths were bishops and other people that happened to be heavily involved with human trafficking, in particular child sex trafficking. Effectively, as the virus rolled out, there is a coalition of 22 countries that is involved in this that we've now learned officially from Trump. There was a heavy strike done to the Vatican to wipe out its power of control. London has been effectively neutralized through the financial side. And effectively, what we just witnessed was the using of the Act of 1871 against itself. Trump appears performed what is typically considered a hostile takeover of a corporation. Because as of now, President Trump controls, and it was reported last week that the chairman of the Fed now directly reports to President Trump. There's only one way that could happen. Without congressional approval, that means that President Trump has changed the power structure within the three city states, and he is now effectively the most powerful man in the world because he owns the entire and controls the entire economic system. All of this under the cover of the Wuhan virus. So as the deep state launched its biggest plan to try to topple the economy, President Trump and his team have countered under the cover of that, using the ideas that would work well with people, because effectively our Constitution has been suspended. And I'll get to the today thing in a minute.
Yes.
And we have been under a de facto martial law, but instead of calling it martial law, he has allowed for optics. They have allowed the states to make many of the decisions and put the burden of the states, put the burden on the state governors to protect their own populace from this virus. They're caught in their own narrative. The same governors that are screaming about the deadly virus now are held accountable to keeping their people safe. The government provides, President Trump and his team provide guidelines, and they naturally follow. So part of keeping people in their homes and out of the way has also been to prevent false flag attacks, to keep people clear from any, if necessary, military operations, and to keep the news cycle and the government locked into a perpetual narrative of talking about this coronavirus. And that's important because all these other things are happening, but they're not reporting on it, because if they do, it shows that the virus was false. So they've caught them in their own trap. As we proceed here, what has happened? We're into day 30. With today's announcement that they're going to start beginning reopening America, one critical thing that happened today at the press conference is for the first time in almost 30 days, the presidential seal is now back on the podium. That's the symbol, and the presidential flag is back up. So we are now back into a constitutional republic again. But we weren't for a short period. We were literally under martial law. So where we are right now is the most miraculous thing that has happened is what we won't see for a while, but has been happening right before us. As they talk about spinning up building ventilators and doing masks. Those are nice stories. We definitely needed stockpiles, but you don't need every major company like Ford and GM doing masks. But what you have, what, if you keep in mind that part of his powers that he implemented was the Defense Act of 1950, that act gives him the power to literally seize and control any corporation that he wants and direct them to exactly what they need to produce for the state, for the sense of national security. It's very important. Because where our economy was in a state completely owned and controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. We have politicians, most of the Democrat Party, in fact, is on their payroll. We have key governors. That was talked about early on by Pompeo at the governor's conference. Key governors that had been owned by the Chinese Party. We have corporations that are owned by significant share. And the Chinese got very smart. They learned that if they were trying to buy majority share, that they would get blocked. So rather than buy majority share, the Chinese were buying into 30 and 45% share of a company, stealing their technology, but having enough economic leverage that if the companies didn't abide by what they said, they would tank the stock. So they did an indirect attack on most of our major corporations. What we're witnessing here through the Act of 19, the Defense Act, is that they're cleaning out a lot of that. This sustained economic war or freezing of the economy is also bleeding a lot of those Chinese investors dry. Mm-hmm. And as they do this, and as Mnuchin comes in with his weapons of warfare through the stimulus packages and the needed grant money, he's able to buy up those shares. He's able to seize back control of the corporations and put them back into American holdings. So in literally a span of 45 days by the end of April, President Trump's team, meaning 45 days from the time that we went to a national state of emergency, 30 days today, actually, they have done the impossible, which is they've completely shifted the global economy to strengthening the dollar, wiping out two of the power centers of the triad, putting all the power back into President Trump's hands, including control over the Fed. They have used the military and its vast knowledge and ability on supply chain logistics to completely remap the entire supply chain system that we had in this country. All these comment about sourcing medical goods is very important because there's much more to that. As they talk about sourcing globally, what they were doing is finding new supply chains and new supply providers for all technology sectors across the globe to bypass China. And the Defense Department was brought in to use some of its most sophisticated tools, which it uses regularly to track, because of national security issues, every single screw and washer on up to the biggest parts in an aircraft, ship, any component we have has to be tracked from origin to delivery with exact knowledge of what every piece of metal material was used, so that if there's ever a problem, no matter whether it's a washer, a rivet, or a major component, it has to be tracked back to that manufacturer in an instant. So part of bringing in the Navy's vice admiral of logistics to just oversee things, he also brought with him the expertise to remap our entire logistics system for commercial side. And that's exactly what he's done. So we have reset our entire economy and in the basic structure of it in 30 days. And so this next phase, which is now reopening America, is a slow phase towards key factors. The hotspot states that they talk about overlay perfectly with sanctuary cities and those that we know are criminal elements of the Luciferian cabal. You have those states will be the slowest to open up. And then the main body states, as they open those up, each one as they open up is going to have a logistics system that's going to be geared towards retooling, rebuilding, and re-energizing America outside of Chinese control. This is massive. It's never been thought it could be done. And they just did it in 30 days. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. It's a lot that's gone on.
This is so mind-blowing. Not too many people can blow my mind into our Global Spiritual Revolution partners. I'm trying to pick up my jaw from the floor because, you know, we in the radio industry, and some of us, you know, we think we know it all. When you think you know it all, and then God sends a great man, like this great man of God, Brother Scott Kesterson, just to absolutely blow our minds. You may mention of the 1871, there's a second constitution.
Right.
And you made mention of the three-tier power structure. Washington, D.C., the military-industrial complex, the city of London, the financial hub of the world, and the Vatican. Back in 2018, man of God, the Vatican, through Pope Francis, had signed an agreement with Beijing, okay? And that was the same year that the COVID-19 virus was sold from the Novartis AG group to the Wuhan Institute. And the same year that Pope Francis had signed on the dotted line with President Xi Jinping in the Chinese government. And you, again, you made mention of this three-tier power structure. In 1871, correct me if I'm wrong, man of God, but I believe in 1871, Pope Pius was the pope during that time in 1871 who wanted to incorporate the United States of America. And again, it seems like, and I, man of God, what you said, I'm about to burst because with joy and with gladness, because you are on a level that very few people can operate on. We have with us Brother Scott Kesterson, a man of God for this hour, and please go to his website right now. Very anointed website will give you instructions how to support him financially, bardsofwarfilm.com. Again, quickly, beloved, bardsofwarfilm.com. But the Vatican, in cahoots with China, and it seems like that President Trump wants to return us to that original document in 1776. Am I correct in saying this, man of God?
Yes, you are. And I think the problem people are having is to, and I'm actually finishing a podcast, which will be out tomorrow morning, on this exact thing, is to really grasp how far over the cliff we were. There's a lot of naivety to assume that all that it would take is just to get rid of the Act of 1871 and then we flip on back there to the old Constitution and everything's good. But you can't do that when every single aspect of your economy has been wired towards a global economic system that is backed by Luciferian elites, that is controlled in directly or indirectly by a mafia-style organization that roots itself in the Catholic Church with the Jesuits. That then links to London, that has enormous control both politically and financially. And all of that is woven around a global media structure that literally controls the terrain of people's minds. So in a podcast I just put out on Tuesday, which is titled Learning to Listen, and just so people know, you can find podcasts on the YouTube channel of Bards of War. That's where they all are right now. There's a new podcast channel that's building up right now that I'll talk about at the end. But yes, the key here is that when you look at the fact that the entire global economy was shut down based on what? Fear. We didn't have any solid proof, but all proof we had was based on the media screaming pandemic, pandemic, pandemic. And what's most disturbing about that is how willingly and compliant the global population was to literally being told by their officials, we have a problem, go in your house and lock up. I mean, I'm oversimplifying, but that's basically what happened. And there was no protest. There was no demanding of hard proof. There was no insisting that we talk about modern medicine, which is actually localized control measures rather than global control measures. Mm-hmm. It was just immediately lock up and hide. And if people were listening, none of it made sense. And this is intentional on President Trump's side, but it was to catch the media. And this will show more as we go. But where we are right now is that when you look at this virus, and I want to kind of go back to that real quickly, there are many levels of this virus, and there is a bigger threat than the virus itself and its frequency. And this is where this next level of threat really was. So if you water down all of their requirements of, you know, prevent the spread stuff, wash your hands, wash your surfaces, keep yourself clean. Masks are optional, but if you want to wear a mask, you can make anything out of a mask and wear it on your face. And then the one thing they keep stressing, which is this social distancing and don't shake hands. Okay. So this, and this is going to lead all back to your statement. So just bear with me a minute. Mm-hmm. What it appears, and I've talked to a lot of people and I've done a lot of research on this, it appears that we're all infected with something that's not the virus. But when I say infected, we all have in us some form of what is a nanotech, most people would call smart dust, or is commonly called smart dust. Smart dust has been seeded in the atmosphere forever. And it's a critical piece because you can inhale it, you can't see it, it's in your body. There's a lot of studies show that we all have pieces of it in us, okay? So what it appears is that the virus somehow, this actual virus that is moving along, somehow can work with smart dust. And the science of this is sketchy for me, but I have actually studied it, especially when I worked at one of the government labs. There was a thing that they were working on, which is known and open source. It just came out, in fact, on the X-22 report of all things the guy talked about it the other night. I was so happy to hear someone else mention it. Yeah. And it's a nanovirus. Okay, so it's effectively an engineered virus. Hmm. And why this is important is they appear to have used smart dust in this living virus. The virus creates the fear, but everybody already has this smart dust in them. The infection continues to grow. The fear part of it, what the fear component is to drive you to the willingness to accept mandatory vaccination. This is really important. And this is the Bill Gates draconian rule the world thing. And it's worse than anything we can imagine. Because once you get the vaccination, whatever agents they put in that vaccination help, as I understand it, may actually help bond those two elements, the virus and the smart dust. And then you add an RFID tag. Now, those three things then work in unison. And it's what we call, but it's much more complicated than that, where everyone's looking at 5G. Well, it's not just 5G, it's frequencies. Forget, because frequencies aren't limited to your 5G tower. Frequencies can come from space. And so, like satellite based. So the idea would be to be able to control the entire world population on a grid that would be run by an artificial intelligence system that was built and has been tested thoroughly in China, built by Google. Let's keep that in mind. And now every single person has an RFID tag in them. It's bonded to your RNA, and you've got a virus and a smart test in you that can be activated and cause anything from cognitive dissonance, extreme ADD, all the way down to complete system failure, meaning you die. But the biggest piece is they control you. And the other part of controlling you is that you become dependent on a socialized system. So if you don't comply with what they want, i.e. the Chinese, what they call a social credit score, they simply cut you off the grid and you no longer have access to your money, food or government services. They just starve you out. This was their vision, and they were to appreciate how close they were. Had we not had President Trump, they'd already be rolling out mandatory vaccinations. In fact, the one thing people need to be very aware of right now, and I mean aggressively fight this at whatever cost, and I don't advocate violence, but I'm going to tell you to watch your state governors, because the evil ones, and they are the ones to watch right now. This fight has moved from federal to state, and you need to pay attention even down to your county, because even in my county, we had a doctor spurred up who's on the county board who's claiming we have to have vaccinations. That ain't going to happen, period. Mm. And there is no way that people can allow this to happen, because what you're talking about creating is a global concentration camp, is effectively what it is, right?
Mm.
So back to your point, the Act of 1871, I have no question, no doubt in my heart that we are going back towards an original constitution. But to get there is not the route that any of us ever understood or thought was possible. It isn't about picking up arms and suddenly like taking over the country, because when you look at the power of something like this as virus, look at how controlled people were just by the concept of fear in the media. The media is the greatest weapon they have, and it's very effective because it gets into people's head and the terrain of your mind. So you have to dislodge the media from the control of the people. And in so doing that, then you have to also at the same time rewire an entire system, not just from the mind, but also the actual system we're dependent on. And there's these little caveats along the way, like, oh, by the way, we're going to have to let you know that your kids were being harvested by people that were in your own government. That's not an easy one to take. So as we reveal all these truths, it looks to me like the Act of 1871 was weaponized as a hostile corporate takeover, and that the Fed will be reorganized and restructured. And that, quite frankly, right now, President Trump is literally the most powerful man in history. Because not only does he, if you think about this, because not only does he control the Fed, he controls the entire destiny of nations, including China. Because China's yuan is pegged to the dollar. And President Trump now has the Federal Reserve Chairman reporting to him. That's an incredible position to be in. Right?
Mm. This is powerful. This is powerful. Again, you hit a powerful, beautiful nerve with me in your powerful impartation, in as our friend. And it's such a great honor sitting at your feet in Christ, receiving this these insights, these revelatory truths concerning not just the two constitutions and the president taking us back to the original constitution, right, for the United States of America, not just of, but for the United States of America in 1776. And I cannot get away from Pope Pius the Ninth in 1871, how President Ulysses S. Grant in 1871 allowed the Vatican to usurp the authority of American exceptionalism. And so now you talked about 15 minutes ago about, again, this three-tier power structure. There is a crown many of the popes used to wear, going back to as early as 1302. There's a term called unum sanctum that Pope Boniface the Eighth had sent out a global decree that all souls belong to him. And that he, Pope Boniface the Eighth, has created what we call today the birth certificate, right? Mm. Which is, it represents a deal of lading. And to our listeners, this is what Brother Scott is doing. He's taking us to another level. So this birth certificate, not to get away from the essence of COVID-19, but in the psyop of Pope Boniface VIII, who in 1302 threw unum sanctum, which means that every soul was to be a registered property to the Vatican. And I've got some close Catholic friends who are priests in the city, and they told me many times not to trash Pope Francis, but every piece of birth certificate is lodged in the Vatican Bank. If we have 7.6 billion people, that's 7.6 billion souls or birth certificates. And again, you said a few minutes ago, Brother Scott, that, you know, the Chinese people can be cut off, you know, financially. So this system that the Vatican instituted, going back to 1302, that the birth certificate represents a bill of lading, that unless the parents sign that certificate, that child would not have a right to the benefits of the state. We're talking about a birth certificate, the social security number, right? A driver's license, a state ID, the ability to work. And so then this 1871 second constitution through Pope Pius IX, that I believe that the Vatican Order was probably one of the major powers that had President Lincoln assassinated. What say you about that? Not to get away from COVID-19, but you have opened up a powerful Pandora box of 1871, Manica. What say you?
Well, I think you're onto something here very much. I mean, when we look back at the Pope, Pius, it's interesting his involvement with the bishops at that point in time. So Pope Pius, on 7 February of 1847...
I'm stopping it there because there's another 20 minutes and that's a lot more time to upload. And I encourage anyone that wants to hear the rest of it to please go over to this station here, Global Spiritual, to this channel, Revolution Radio, and the two of them, you know, talk in terms of the Civil War, and then mostly it's a continuing conversation about the Civil War and what we don't know, or what people in general don't know. And I'll add here that I'm going to do a series of videos about deep history, because I've just read a book that I did post. One of my last videos was about the Lombards, the Invisible College, the real history of the world. So when it comes to the Civil War, what we don't know is astounding. And I think people realize that the founding of this country was the Illuminati, and it was. But obviously the war that's being fought right now with Donald Trump crashed on these shores in the 1600s. It has been a war since Jesus Christ. It has. I now really know that history. So when it comes to this continent and the plans that they had for this continent, the plan was always to divide North America in two, just like they did to Korea. This is, you know, their playbook, and control it because they feared it would get too strong. They were right. So anyway, I've got a lot of videos to make. 6 months have gone by, and I'd love to share what I've been learning and continue to, you know, connect it to this moment in history. So hope you really enjoyed that. Whoa, what a conversation. Two of the finest minds I've run across ever. So Thank you. Have a great day.